Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dr. Charwin, just this is your area of expertise. Talk about what this pandemic is doing in terms of causing concern for nursing homes and the elderly population in general.
So this is unfortunately a perfect storm because of the patient characteristics and the setting in which they find themselves. So what we've learned now, starting back in China and in Italy and many other places around the globe, is that older adults are particularly susceptible to the ravages of the COVID-19 virus in the sense that they face greater risk of developing the acute respiratory distress syndrome and proceeding to intensive care and requiring ventilators and, frankly, even going on to death. There are estimates that people 80 and over have a death rate of 20% or even higher with this. And that's to be compared to the overall lethality of the disease, which is somewhere on the order of, depending upon which country, 1.5 to 5%, which is still, of course, very high, but pales in comparison, unfortunately, to older adults. Now, what we don't know for certain is whether it's age alone or it's because many older adults are actually frail, vulnerable elders who have coexisting medical conditions. So it seems that the impacts of the virus are most keenly felt in people who have backgrounds of lung disease, particularly chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, those who have hypertension, those who have diabetes, and those who have underlying cardiac disease. So unfortunately, as many of us get older, those are diseases that are much more common. So there may be a fundamental aspect of getting older which affects our immune system response and resilience to the virus, but when you layer on top of that the coexisting medical illnesses, then that puts a patient at very much increased risk. And then the next aspect is that we know that in order to maintain a safe distance and reduce the chance of infection, you have to stay away from other individuals. But in a long-term care or nursing home environment, that's often just not possible. In many respects, it may not be possible for the following reasons. Older adults may not be so mobile, especially if they're in a long-term care setting. And many older adults, frankly, may have cognitive impairment if they're in a nursing home and may not be able to understand or at least remember that these are the kinds of recommendations that are necessary to stay away from others. And then if you look at a nursing home environment where people often eat together, we have the conditions that unfortunately are very ripe for transmission of the disease between patients and between many of the caregivers. Indeed, what's now been recommended is that in many older, in long-term care facilities, older adults, they have said that they will accept no visitors, of family visitors, because they don't want to increase the risk that families would bring in the COVID virus, and of course, conversely, have that transmitted to them. And one of the first episodes of a hotspot was actually, I believe, in Kirkland, Washington, where unfortunately one nursing home was really devastated by a majority of the patients getting COVID and a significant number of them facing very serious illness and even death. So now here in the Buffalo and Western New York area, we're seeing a reprise of this, but just in a delayed fashion because it's taken a bit more time for the surge to really get up and going and affecting us in a broader way. So now we know that there's community spread, which means that it's really probably very prevalent throughout the community, maybe, not just maybe, but almost certainly with many people possibly infected but actually not having symptoms, and now being in a position where they could unfortunately infect older adults, particularly those in nursing homes who are frail.
So nursing homes, at least in New York State, and I feel like most of the Northeast in general, have taken measures such as screening nurses and healthcare workers, as well as limiting as much as possible outside guests, really at all.
Yes.
How effective has this been in what you know, and is there really anything else that can be done to kind of prevent that? Because a nursing home is not a place like work where you
right.
can just tell everyone to go home. That's just not
right.
possible.
Right. Absolutely right. So. I want to say up front that I don't have specific nursing home data in front of me, okay? And that what I have learned mostly is what we all can read in the papers. But I can comment upon the conditions that are there and then what we can possibly do, and then also some of the other ramifications of these changes. So let me start with that. Let's go a little bit backwards. So we know that many older adults often are facing a social distancing in many respects long before COVID ever came around. So they may be without frequent family members who are able to family members who can frequently visit them, and they're at higher risk for things like depression, for social isolation. Unfortunately, this can happen in both the community and in the long-term care setting. But now, the measures that are being recommended, which I completely agree with, in reducing contact with long-term care residents with their family members could unfortunately even heighten the social isolation, have impacts on the mood and behavior, and really have considerable consequences when it comes to depression. Not only that, as I mentioned earlier, some older adults who are in long-term care facilities are cognitively impaired, have dementia, and they may very well not be able to understand why people can't visit them. So there are consequences of this illness and the preparations that are needed to reduce the risk of the illness that actually go beyond just the serious infection and the potential progression with lung disease and requiring an intensive care unit. So what do we know about how to best treat this? Well, as you've probably heard before, there is no doubt that at this stage of the game, where we do not have an effective vaccine, where we do not have any clearly proven treatments, even though there are anecdotal stories, there are no clearly proven treatments to either reduce the intensity of the illness or to prevent the progression or even catching the disease, then we have to institute measures that make sense in a way of reducing getting the disease by reducing contact. So the distancing is really a physical distancing. We talk a lot about social distancing, but in a way, ideally what we want is physical distance, but not social isolation. But again, this is very, very difficult to do in a relatively confined environment in a long-term care setting. Now, there are some anecdotal reports that there are some medications, as you may have heard, the antimalarial medication hydroxychloroquine. In reality, even the anecdotal reports are mixed, and the few published peer-reviewed trials are not actually convincing yet that we know when to use the hydroxychloroquine or even if it's effective in many patients. And it's important, I think, to stress that hydroxychloroquine does have side effects, and indeed those side effects are usually more keenly felt in older adult population because there's a cardiac side effect. And for people who have certain types of abnormalities on their EKG, which is much more prevalent in older adults and those who might have underlying hypertension or heart disease, heart failure or diabetes, that the hydroxychloroquine could be the stimulus for even fatal arrhythmias in the heart. So this is not a panacea right now, especially in the absence of any firm data that it's going to do good. And indeed, even with the anecdotes, we don't know if these agents would work in older adults, especially with multiple other medical issues.
You're someone who has a parent in a nursing home, a grandmother, a family member in a nursing home.
Sure.
What's the level of concern for these people, and what should they do? Is this a time where it might be time to go get them and bring them home?
Yeah, so that I was thinking you're going to go there. Okay, so the question to be raised, are older adults, family members, safe in a nursing home environment? And I think the answer now is, for the most part, yes. However, there are provisos. So if this were 3 weeks ago, before there was significant community spread, then an option may have been to go get your loved one and to bring them home. However, that's not an easy task for many if the reason that the older adult is in a nursing home is because they have significant care needs, and many times those care needs can really not be met in a residential environment. So there's sort of a double-edged sword there. But unfortunately, I think that time has passed. Because there's significant community spread, and because many nursing homes have already had some exposure, it's past the time when one should consider going to get one of family's member and bringing them home. Okay, so what nursing homes do have in their favor is that they are care facilities that are used to these kinds of potential contagions. Now, on a lesser scale, that means that every year nursing homes are routinely looking at flu vaccines, looking at trying to minimize contacts with patients who get sick, and at least have the clinical background with the staff to take measures that in a way may be a bit better followed than out in the residential arena. So this is a very difficult time, but I would say that if a loved one is in a nursing home, then you've got to do your best to go with what the nursing home recommendations are, and most of them are very cognizant of how strict they need to be about preventing intrusion of the virus from the outside, even with loving family members, and doing the best they can in trying to restrict the spread within the nursing home. But this is unfortunately unlikely to be something that will work for everybody. And I think, unfortunately, and this is, I think, a fair bet, that many nursing home residents who are at higher risk will suffer the consequences of the community spread that we've had, and unfortunately are probably going to get quite ill and indeed may even suffer and be subject to death.
All right, Dr. Trowin, is there anything else that you would like to add, anything you think that our audience should know?
Well, let me think about that for a second. So that was a real downer I just finished there, right? So I'm trying to think how to be a little bit more positive. I think I would add, so we know what works. And while we don't necessarily see the positive impact of the physical distancing and hopefully not social isolation, there is a lot of historical precedent and good medical evidence that says that if we do our best with very vigilant hand washing, with appropriate wearing of masks, in making sure that we stay at the proper distance, and these are the kinds of policies that are being followed by the nursing home, that is our best bet. And these policies are effective. It's just that, as in many things in life, there are no final guarantees, and so we know that the most vulnerable, even under the best of circumstances, may still suffer even with the best action that we take. But I want to recommend that everybody continue to do that, and particularly that means in the community. These nursing homes have really gotten the COVID virus from a community spread, from what we as a population have done outside the nursing homes, and we've really inadvertently brought it in. It's therefore very incumbent upon us, even if one feels that they're healthy, to keep their distance, stay with family, and to minimize contact with others so we can hopefully stop this progression of the COVID virus.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.